Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. A new year is upon us. For some, it's a time to set goals, like going to the gym or eating healthier. And maybe for others, including myself, it's a time for regret once you realize that those New Year's resolutions might not be met. And yet for others, it's a time for reflection over chances that you maybe didn't take, or regret that you didn't become the person that you thought you would. Now, before you get too depressed, that last type of regret, which is called regret over a lost possible self, well, that's not always a bad thing. In fact, that type of regret is precisely what Laura King studied. She's a professor in the University of Missouri Department of Psychology. I sat down with her and asked her about her research.
You know, think about something like even setting a New Year's resolution. You may be setting yourself up for failure. But that's the interesting thing about goals and goal setting and striving for something, right, is that there's a reason why goals are a really great recipe for psychological well-being. I mean, one of the reasons why goals work so well is because we fail sometimes, and it keeps our lives interesting.
Earlier in your career, you studied regret over something called lost possible self.
Right.
Would you mind telling me a bit about that?
So when I was an assistant professor at Southern Methodist University, I was interested in studying goals. And most of my research was about the goals that people set for their lives, especially the kinds of goals that direct their everyday activities. And while I was studying goals, around that same time, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and she died. And after she died, it occurred to me that a lot of the goals that I had been working on myself just had no meaning for me anymore. And suddenly, I felt like a lot of the things that I was trying to do had been given meaning because of her, because I was going to talk to her about them, or that they would in some way, she was wrapped up in the futures that I was searching for. And so that experience caused me to really think about what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to study that would be really interesting to me, that would give me a reason to wake up in the morning? And I decided that what I wanted to study was that experience I was having of this feeling of having lost these goals, having lost this future self that I thought I was going to be someday. And so I started thinking about studying people who had, like me, invested in some future that they could no longer have. And so we ended up doing studies of different groups of people, like parents of children with Down syndrome, women who'd gone through divorce after more than 20 years of marriage, and also gay men and lesbians. And we asked people, you know, before you went through this life transition, what were the goals you dreamed of having? And then we asked them to sort of expound upon those lost possible selves. And then we asked them, of course, to tell us about their best possible selves now. Who is it that you hope to be in the future, given that you are a parent of a child with Down syndrome, or you are a woman who's gone through this divorce, or you are a gay man or a lesbian woman? And we measured a bunch of different variables, including how happy they are, how satisfied with their lives, but also a different kind of measure that isn't just about being happy, a measure that might show some positives coming out of regret without necessarily meaning that the person's going to be happier. And one of those is this measure of basically complexity and insight. And I was thinking that people might, by elaborating on those lost possible selves, allow themselves to become in some ways a wiser person, right? To become more complex and insightful about others. And sure enough, what we found is that if you want to be happy, letting go of the past and moving to the future, right, and really committing to what you want to do now is a great way to be happy. But to grow and develop as a person, to become more complex and more wise and more mature, requires that you're capable of looking on those lost possible selves and maybe take some time and really contemplate the value of what you lost, the value of the lives around you, of people who haven't gone through what you've gone through, and being able to maybe look back on yourself in a kind of self-deprecating way, maybe not so much, not judging oneself really harshly, but saying, you know, she tried her best. And it really was a good life that she was shooting for. But the one she's got now is also really awesome, right? So that you can sort of develop a sense of a future life that's commensurate with what you lost.
Okay. Well, is this something that could be developed over time, or is it something that's just kind of you're either born with a strong sense of complexity
or
not?
No. It develops over time. But it doesn't develop in that kind of intentional way where you would set a goal, I'm going to be a more mature person. Because in a lot of ways, these things that people have regrets over or these lost possible selves, for many people, they said, what I'm describing to you, my life now is what I thought was my worst case scenario. But I lived through it, right? They would admit that they were blown out of the water by it, that they had to, you know, do all the soul searching and reconstruction of their sense of meaning and figuring out who am I. I mean, for many of these people, they were talking about life experiences that were really unfathomable to them and that nobody would go out and seek on purpose. Oh, yes, I want to do that. I want to join that club. But at the same time, and this is the thing that is so fascinating to me, is that those very people who admitted that they had been really devastated by those experiences, who had had to, in some ways, rewrite their life story. If you looked at the goals they're pursuing now, they've signed up all over again for a whole new life of regret because they're still dedicated to living every day. And it really taught me about what people are like. I mean, I guess maybe when I started all of this, I thought, I don't know, that we might find people who were just demoralized by these life experiences. And sure, there were some people who were like that. But more often, there were people who admitted that they'd been devastated, but they still woke up every morning and set those goals and continued to strive. And I think that group of people who have both this complexity and insight paired with, the glow of happiness and hope and optimism, really just remarkable people. And if you read their stories, you just get goosebumps because it is so amazing. I mean, it just tells you something about what people are really like, and that, man, human beings can just be amazing, even in the context of experiences that they would say, oh, yeah, do I regret that this happened? In some ways, maybe they always will. But in some ways, they are actually better people for it, not just in a platitude way, but in a real way.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. To listen to this episode again and check out others, just head to our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.
No regrets.